All right. We're on the lesson about Proverbs, the diligent and the slothful. Does anybody need a lesson sheet for that lesson before we go? We got a couple over here, if you can get some back there. Over on this side. All right, if you need a lesson on diligent or and slothful, just raise up your hand, okay? Anybody else? Okay. I don't know if we're going to finish this lesson or not. I'm through prognosticating on that. I'm wrong every time. So if we do, I've got the lessons for the next lesson time on riches and poverty. And it's back there in the back. It's 3 pages long. So you might be sure you get all of that. They're cross-stacked so you can have them all there together. All right. On this lesson first, we'll want to look at the point that's made in the introduction, how that sometimes the term is used of lazy or slothful, sluggard, a slack hand. It gives those 3 passages where you've got the different things laid out. The first one there having the idea of lazy or slothful. The second, lazy and sluggard. And then the third one, slack hand and lazy hand. Those are the ways that they delineate them. Now, there's some difference in the original term that's used, and I don't really want to go into that because in a lot of ways it's mostly just synonymous. But in some ways it distinguishes between the idea of being lazy or slothful because of a mind to do that or just doing it on the action, looking at the action itself. But in either way, obviously, if you have the action there, you've thought about it to some degree to not go and work. So either sense, you have some that's involved from both directions there. Let's look at this first point, and we're going to have some reading of these passages. Who will read Proverbs 12:27 for me? Proverbs 12:27. Okay, Art. And then Proverbs 19:24. Anybody there? Okay, DJ. And then 26:15. Did I see you, Jason? Okay. All right. So 12:27 first.
The lazy man does not rust what he took in hunting, but diligence is man's precious possession.
Okay. And 19:24. Okay. And then 26 and verse 15.
The sluggard buries his hand in the dish and wears him out to bring it to his back out to his mouth.
Okay. What do you notice about those last two? All right. Much the same kind of terminology there. And this is what you call really lazy, I guess, if you have that. Your hand's in the bowl and you don't even have enough energy or gumption to bring it back up to your mouth to eat. Is that kind of a man that's being talked about here, is it a sense of something where he just doesn't have the ability, or is this a lack of just a diligence, an action that's involved? All right, it has to be that lack of action. There's something that he did. That first one that's talking about he went out and got something from honey. And then what does he decide to do? All right, comes back in and lets it go to waste because he doesn't have the kind of an energy or the get with it kind of a thing to where he would roast it. What kind of a picture do you get there? Obviously, that's not talking about something that happens in most cases in a literal way. I guess it could, but I've seen very few that lazy. But what's it saying about this guy? All right? There's a statement here where in a lot of ways you have figures of speech at work to where it's overstated and in a way that makes the emphasis there. That here's someone who is not having any kind of get up and go, if you will. They're just people who are not ready to do what is the very minimum of what's expected of them. And what's the end of that kind of person? Let's look down at that question number one when it says, what two illustrations show that the slothful may have before him blessings yet never be blessed? That's the animal that was taken but not roasted, taken in hunt but not roasted, and then his hands in the bowl but doesn't bring it up to eat. What's the end of that one? What does this end up in? What does his laziness produce? All right. When he has food available but doesn't get it, what's the point of that? There's no blessing, as it's talked about. There's no fulfillment of what the desire obviously was. And the reason for that is due to his own laziness, his own slothfulness. And those kind of things happen. Rather than those, which is an extreme, can you think of something that kind of illustrates that in the real world basis? Nobody talk about my yard, okay? Okay, go ahead.
People would have their gospel presented to them, and sometimes multiple times, you know, consistently, but yet they don't partake of it.
All right. In a spiritual sense, that's so. A lack of willingness to act. What else? How about in the physical sense? I couldn't hear what you said.
Some people, they get an opportunity to do something, and they have it right in front of them. They won't follow through and make good of it.
Yeah.
You know, they waste what's right there in front of them. It's kind of like a hunter that's the same example. You've got something right there that you can really benefit you and others with, and you're not going to take advantage of it. And it is a cost to you.
All right. Those kind of things are what we're talking about with the idea of having an opportunity, but with that opportunity failing to do it, and simply because there is no gumption, no desire to work as we should. Is that a problem in our society? Yeah, I've seen that over and over again, that you have people who have all around them places where they might be able to work. It might be difficult, but rather than do that, they would rather have it kind of an easy way in some sense. And the idea is when one takes that out and tries to get it the easy way, doesn't involve any activity or action from self, they're taking away that which God saw to be necessary from the beginning. In the Garden of Eden, before the man and woman had sinned and the curses came upon them, they were given work to do. The man was given a work that is to be there, so was the woman. And it was recognized that was before the curses that come as a result of the fall. Well, what does that tell us? I think it tells us very clear that it's for our best interest. If we have things to do, if there's a diligence or a working spirit, that is there. That's something that everyone needs to have within them. And parents certainly need to have that training with their children to learn not to be one that's just lazy and allowed to get by without any work at all. Anybody else got anything there? Okay, let's look at the next one, that chapter 16 and verse 26. Who wants to... Go ahead, Matt.
Verse 26
All right. That idea of the person who labors. There's a benefit that you get as a result of that labor, and that's why he says he labors for himself. But there's a mighty good, compelling force to cause someone to work. What's that? Hunger. That if you don't, you're not going to eat. And in the New Testament, you have that statement. If a man will not work, what? Neither shall he eat. Because that's something that is the result of that drive in working. That has to be there with all of us. In chapter 26, back up to verse 14. Who wants to take that one? Anybody? Go ahead, Tim. Okay. That's a pretty fitting picture too, isn't it? The idea that he's just flopping back and forth, not getting anywhere. But that's the point of this, that there is a lack of progress and a lack of doing anything, really, when that comes about. Let's look at this next one. I want to take those first three. Who'll take chapter 22, verse 29? Go ahead, David. Chapter 24, verse 27. Doug. And chapter 12, verse 11. Okay. Colby. And the next one is just a carbon copy of that. So we'll just read one of them. Okay. 22, 29. Okay. What does it mean, a man who excels in his work? What's the point about excelling in one's work? Is that only talking about effort?
No, they're good at it.
Okay. That is there. When someone does something well, you not only notice the fact that they do it. I mean, they're given to that, or they wouldn't have gotten to be good at it, but also that they're going to have some aptitude along there, that with that practice or with that learning, there is an ability. And so the point is made that if that one is going to work and he's going to excel, which typically is a result of doing over and over, of being one who is very diligent in that work, then what happens? He'll be the one that's standing before kings. In other words, he'll be one who has an effect, and a great effect. How about the other one? The one who doesn't excel, he's going to be before those of low estate, if you will. He won't stand before the king, but stand before those who are unknown. In other words, that he's not going to have that higher place that would have a greater responsibility. Next one there in 24:27.
Prepare your outside work, make it fit for yourself in the field, and afterward build your house.
What does that remind you of? Prepare your outside work in the field. What's he saying? Do what? Okay. All right. You prepare for the absolute necessities first. And that's your ability to earn something and eat, that doing something that will provide for the productivity, which will bring you a livelihood. And then you have a place that you can sleep later, or a place of protection later. What do you notice in principle about that? Why is that so? Why is that so? A lot of people say, well, surely you'd get a place to live before you do anything else. Go ahead.
Well, it has to do with knowing the situation well enough to know when opportunities are going to pass. You've got to, just throw out some cliches. You're going to strike while the iron's hot, make hay while the sun shines.
Yeah.
You've got to know, you've got to be observant enough to know that, yes, you need a house. House, then planning time is gone.
That's true there. And I've noticed something when I go over into the Philippines that always kind of is interesting to me. When they go out to their place to farm the rice or whatever there that they're doing for a livelihood, they have their carabao. If they've gotten a little bit of better kind of a crop that's bringing in, they've got this big old thing that looks like a huge tiller, kind of a mix between a tiller and a paddle boat that is going into the dirt, and it gets all of that ready for a crop. And you have that all done, and you go and look at their house, and it's this one little room thing that is probably no more than 5 by 5 by 5. You know, it's all everywhere. It's little bitty. And after a few years, if they've managed to do well, then they'll put a permanent house on that thing. But they concentrate on what's necessary first, and that's the idea here. In an agrarian society, that's the point that he's giving, is that kind of a sense. You take care of the necessity first before you take care of anything else. Anybody got anything else there? Okay. In that next one, 12:11, I think that's yours, Kobe. Okay. That lacking sense, others of you have another translation there? Devoid of understanding is there. Those are the ideas, that it's something where he isn't evaluating things correctly. The one who tills his land, he's going to have what he needs to have. But the other one, who's just frivolous, given to folly rather than doing that, he doesn't understand what the problem is. He's going to have problems all around as a result of just giving himself to folly rather than working as he should. Anybody, anything else on that one? Go ahead, Jason. Yeah, I don't think they got that one right. I think it has to do with the idea of the work that is there. You might notice the word persons isn't in the original. It's in that italics. And that's because of their supply of it, which I don't think they got correctly. Anybody else there? All right, the next two then. Chapter 13, verse 11. We'll read it. Anybody? Okay. You've got that one? Okay. Jamie, if you'll take then 21:5. All right. 13:11.
Well, gained by dishonesty will be diminished, but he who gathers by labor will increase.
Okay. What's the point with respect to that? Here it is, it's slothfulness that's in mind. It's pointing out correct kind of labor, labor that's honest and good and right, is what is able to bring that reward or the things to eat and all of that. But here you have somebody who maybe he's not lazy, not lazy at all. He's kind of cunning and has gotten it by dishonesty. Is that okay? Well, no. The point is, what we're talking about with regard to diligence is not diligence that goes outside the path of law or right. We're talking about diligence that is within the path of what God has ordained. Okay, Jamie, chapter, 21:5, please. Okay. And here's another one where it isn't something that has to do with a lack of work. But here your sense is someone who has planned that work properly, who has showed some wisdom in laying that out, as opposed to what? The other guy in the latter part of the verse, what does it say about him? Okay, he's hasty on that kind of an effort. the get rich quick or whatever kind of schemes there, doesn't plan something out to be workable, but instead is one who's just going to kind of let it fly off the cuff and do it in that way. Certainly we understand that's not a good business plan either, to just decide to do something quick and don't know how to do it, but we'll just start doing it anyway. That's kind of the way I build things, and that's why they never work out very well, because I don't know how to do all that kind of stuff very well and think, well, this and this and this might work, and it falls down flat. So these kind of things, we have to be able to give some planning beforehand to them. Anybody else got anything there? Okay. Let's go down to the next one on the sluggard sees only the reason for not working. Chapter 20 and verse 4. Go ahead, Blaine. And then we've got two that are very similar, so just read the 22:13. You got 22:13 there? All right. First one, 20 verse 4. All right. Anybody else got a different rendering on that first part? The lazy man or the sluggard? Mine says, will not plow because of winter. In other words, winter's coming on. I don't want to get started on this and then have to stop, so I'll just wait until springtime. And then the latter part of that, he's talking about he will beg during harvest and have nothing. Why? Because he didn't plant back when he should have. And as a result of that, you don't get that turnaround in a crop in just a very short time. When it comes time to harvest there in the fall, then he's going to be without anything to eat. All right, that next one, 22:13, please.
The slothful man saith, there is a lion without, I shall be slain in the street.
Okay. What's this guy worried about? If I go outside, it's dangerous out there. You know, something will happen in that sort of way. If we would say that, it wouldn't come across too well. We don't tend to have a lot of lions, unless there's a tornado that goes through Tuttle and gets the safari park there. But the idea is you have this danger that may be present out there. Not that it is, but that danger may be present, and therefore I'm not going to do this. Same thing in that next verse, very much like it. What's the point of that? Can you always find find an excuse? Let me put that the proper way. Can you find an excuse not to work?
You don't want to work.
All right. That's the idea. If you don't want to work, you'll find one that's around there of some reason that you shouldn't do that. Go ahead. Right. Right. And yet, if you've been around long enough, you will have heard all of these from somebody as you've gone through with the idea of somebody who's lazy and doesn't want to work. There's something even more ridiculous than there's a lion out there. I've heard in my lifetime of those kind of things being said. Next two I want to look at there on chapter 15 and verse 19. Who wants to take that? John Huff, and then chapter 26:16. Foster? Okay. All right. 15:19.
The way of the slothful man is as a hedge of thorns, but the way of righteous is made plain.
Okay. Point is that the path, or what a lazy man produces, is what? It's devastating. It's dangerous. It's not something that's going to be fruitful after its way at all. Okay, 26 and verse 16.
Hey, Harris, I have a thought on that particular verse that they just don't want to get through the tough stuff to get to where they need to be.
Okay.
Kind of like exercising.
Yeah, let's not talk about that. Gone from teaching to being personal about that. Go ahead. Okay, chapter 26, 16.
The lazy man is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly.
Okay. Why does this guy not want to work?
He's too smart for it.
Okay, he thinks he's above it, right? I'm too smart for that. I'll let make somebody else, not as smart as me, do all of this. Doesn't matter how intelligent one is, industriousness and diligence is what's needed. It's that which is expected of everyone, because that's something that's for their own good, for their family's good, and for the good of society as well. When we're doing what we ought, we not only have the opportunity to take care of a job well done and see that as beneficial, take some rightful pride, if you will, in that. I don't mean sinful pride, but a kind of a sense of understanding that we've done what needed to be done and glad that it was done. But also, it's the sense of taking care of others, providing for them, not just by means of a salary or something there, but what one does with their life. You know, there's a lot of things that people can do with their lives that will get them a lot of money. It'll make them rich, but it won't do much for the society round about. It's something that's just for themselves. And we need to think about things. A good thing for young people to think in an early time in their life, what do I want to do? What can be that which is good and productive for others around me, will help them, will provide for not only my family, but for others as well. There's some worth inherent within the work. And that's part of what this is involved in and talking about as well, I think. Anything else there? That last verse, chapter 18 and verse 9. Who wants to look at that one? Okay, all right.
He who is slothful in his work is the brother to him who is a great destroyer.
Okay, fine. What's it like about them? Lazy and a destroyer. Okay. All right. If somebody's been slothful, lazy, what are they going to produce in the end? Nothing. Here's somebody who goes out and destroys things that are there. What are they going to leave in their wake? Nothing of substance. Nothing that's useful. And so the point is there. If one does nothing, if he's slothful, then there isn't any better way about the end of his practice than there is about somebody who's going through and trying to destroy and be violent with things. Because what you end up with in both cases is nothing. And again, that point, we need to look towards what's industrious, what does something that is of real value about it. Anybody else got anything there on that one? And let's go into the next part here, that number two. The results for the individual, the results of diligence versus the results of slothfulness. Chapter 10 and verse 4. Go ahead, Kai. Chapter 19 and verse 15, Doug. And chapter 20 and in verse 13. Anybody else? Okay. Bo? All right. 10:4.
Slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich.
Okay. What's the sense that is there? The one who has a slack hand. What does that mean, a slack hand?
Shady.
Do what?
Shady hand.
Okay. What else could be there with that? A slack.
Not diligent.
Okay, not diligent. A slacker, it's coming from that same kind of a background there. And so here is someone that is keeping his hand from doing very much. He's just not going to work very much. That one, he says, is going to become poor. The hand of the diligent does what? Worked. Okay. We're going to look at some as we go through several different areas of Proverbs. The Proverbs will say something like, you never have someone who is diligent or a worker, things like that, who is lacking for food. Well, does that mean that's impossible that anyone who truly worked would ever be without enough food or would ever be hungry? Well, no, that's not the point. The idea of Proverbs is they're general rules. We recognize the fact that during a time when there were many who were working hard, during the time of the Depression, they were working hard, but they didn't have enough to eat. There weren't the jobs out there. That was a difficulty in that way. Proverbs are giving you a general rule of what is so. There may be an exception, but this is the general rule that is there, and certainly this one would be one of the same way. Generally, when you work, what are you going to do? You're going to have what you need from that. All right. Next one, 19, verse 15.
Laziness casts one into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger.
Okay. What picture do you get there? Laziness casts one into a deep sleep. Does that present a picture that, for you in your mind?
A lot of times people are lazy, can't get up to go to work. Their arms can go off. They just won't wake up.
Yeah.
Like they die.
All right.
Making themselves either intentionally or not intentionally oblivious to
I remember a guy when I was back in high school came in and was showing things to our school on there's a program on hypnosis. And whenever I read this verse, that program hits me. If here was a guy who was going around and he gives him that word, and the word was work. And when he heard the word work, he just melted like that into everything. And that's the picture I get. The idea some people are allergic to that word, it seems like. And as a result of that, they just go into a kind of a meltdown stage. Go ahead.
Yeah, another question the Bible says, consider the ants. When you look at the animal kingdom, they don't have anywhere close to the abilities that you and I have. And yet, they never stop looking for food. They never stop doing the thing that they do, scratching on the ground.
Go ahead, PJ.
Sorry, the laziness casts one into a deep sleep. I kind of took it from when if I have a lazy day, I'm not really motivated to not be lazy. I'm motivated to be more lazy.
That tends to get things going along that direction. All right. Who did I give 20 and verse 13 to? Both? Okay. All right. Again, the idea of sleep here as it's given is that sense of rest, the opposite of work, if you will. That when one loves that doesn't mean we're not supposed to sleep any. Obviously, you have to have that. But when there's a love of sleep that is to the exclusion of or to the priority of over the anything that has to do with rightful action, diligence, work, then that's not as it should be. Okay, chapter 24, if you'll turn there with me, chapter 24, began at verse 30. We'll go down through the end of that chapter. I went by a field of a lazy man, and by the vineyard of a man devoid of understanding. And there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. When I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. So shall your poverty come like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. I've always liked this as far as the picture that's given, pointed out. Here goes somebody and he's looking at what is the way that I need to be living my life. And he goes by the field of a lazy man, and what does he see? Overgrown, wall broken down. In these times they would have had a wall that would have walled off their territory to not only be that which demarked their land, but also was something that had a bit of protection about it with regard to floods that would be quick upon them or animals that might get into it and so forth. He sees this that's just a mess, basically all terrible. And what did he learn from that? What do you learn? Go ahead.
Be diligent. Not be like that person.
Okay. When, go ahead, Aaron.
I think the idea we see here is time. This didn't happen in one day. This didn't happen in a week. This happened over a period of time that it got this. And so if we don't understand that and plan, then we're going to plan to fail. And that's exactly what we see with this person.
This became a habit that is pointed out either way. Go ahead.
It seems like this is almost like a perfect summation of everything we've done. You get somebody that's got a blessing, and he won't do anything with it, like James was saying. He's got this field, he's got this opportunity, he's not doing it. He won't lift his hands to go do it so he can make some food to bring to his mouth.
That's right. Clayton's point on it not being something that's, taking advantage of that is correct. Look at the picture that's given, though. A lot of times in the Proverbs, we have these pictures that are kind of painted for us. Sometimes when you look at the book of Revelation, you need to view the picture as it's presented to you to get the overall message. And here, the same thing. You have this one, he says, you can see him just kicking back, a little sleep, a little somber, a little folding of the hands to rest, get it all ready, and now what's happened? This guy's out. And that becomes his way of life, is just that lack of action. Go ahead.
Most lazy people aren't even smart enough to know that they're lazy. And I don't mean that they should know because they got weeds in their field and their neighbor doesn't, but it's kind of like drug addiction. Most drug addicts don't know they're drug addicts, and most lazy people, although they should know, because there's always an excuse on why this and why that and why things aren't going their way. Because how many people do you know say, yeah, I'm lazy? Diligent workers that 40 or 30 or 25 all
I had one of my mother's brothers was, I don't know how you say this kindly, he was a piece of work, I guess. And it was, you know, different things. It was obvious that this guy was just as lazy as he could be, which was opposite of the rest of the family I had known and going through the depression. But his statement was always, he laughed about it. He didn't have any job. He said, I'm a go-getter. I take my wife to work in the morning and go get her in the afternoon. And that was the truth. That's what he did, and that was about all that he did. And he's not ashamed of that. Yet why one wouldn't be is beyond me when you've got that kind of lack of any kind of gumption at all. Go ahead, Ray. We've got a lot of time-saving things to do work faster. While that's got some good things about it, it could help us to do more. Sometimes if all we're going to do is save the time we would have taken, we get ourselves convinced that actually what we're doing is we've worked real hard when we really haven't. We could have done a whole lot more. All right. Let's look at that last one here, chapter 14, verse 23. Did I give that to anybody? Okay. Who'll take it? Okay, Jason. Okay. Why is mere talk or idle chatter, as it's also translated, why is that mixed in there with somebody who's lazy? What's the point? Do what? Okay. They're going to talk it there, but all they'll do is talk. That's not how to get things done, to just talk about it in that sort of way. Let me look at chapter 12 and verse 24 there just a moment. The hand of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man will be put to forced labor or to slavery. If he's not going to work, somebody will put him to work. Chapter 13 and verse 4, the soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing. The soul of a diligent shall be made rich. And so when you look at these, you see that difference. Now, one of the main things is somebody needs to be ready to work. You can teach, by and large, the tools that are necessary or skills that are necessary to do a particular thing. That can be taught. But teaching someone the value of being diligent and not lazy but laboring, that's a harder thing to teach. And that's something that better be taught early in life. My dad always said that there are two things that none of his kids would be, a liar or lazy. And he said, you won't live through your young years if you don't do it. And I really thought he meant it, and I still do, to tell you the truth, that that's kind of the way it was. You weren't going to be allowed to do any of that. All right, anything else there? Go ahead, Scott. That's right.
You're lazy in your spiritual life. You're not going to grow. You're not going to reap any benefits, you know. And if you're not, and you're diligent, you're going to learn. You're going to spread the word, spread the seed, and help others, and do all the things you should do.
Right. Okay. We're out of time, so I'm going to ask Raymond, if you will, Looney, would you lead us in closing word of prayer, and we'll be dismissed.